Welcome to Book Talk for Book Talk, a literary podcast where we have been deep diving into your favorite novels.
This is Jack.
And I'm Amy.
This summer, we are talking to some of our and TikTok's favorite authors. In our Summer of Love series, we'll be chatting with best-selling authors about their books, characters, and more. Explicit language, as well as themes of sex, violence, abuse, death, and depression will recur throughout this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Shane Rose is a USA Today and number one Amazon best-selling author. She writes romance with an edge and loves to deliver an emotional roller coaster ride or two before we get to that happily ever after. Shane lives where the weather is constantly changing with a family she hopes will never change. When she isn't writing, she's spending the days with her husband, two kids, and wild golden retriever. On the off chance Shane's not writing or spending time with family and friends, she's calling to talk to them. And if no one answers, then she's reading romance or watching trashy TV. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Mm-hmm. I have to add to my bio now. Yeah. I just got a little kitten. So we have our crazy golden retriever and now our crazy little kitten too.
Kitten. Oh my God. I mean, we're recording. I'm not going to be like, please go get the kitten. But like in another world, I'm very interested in this kitten.
I sometimes post her on my Instagram and she has those like folded ears. She's a Scottish fold.
I love a Scottish fold.
I know. They're so cute. She is actually a darling cat, and she's really good with the kids. So
perfect.
She's a good addition to the family.
All right. What's her name? Just out of curiosity, if you're willing.
Her name is Diamond. My daughter named her Diamond, and her nickname is Honey Bun. So Diamond's really hard to like yell. So sometimes I'm like, Honey.
Okay, that's sweet. Yeah, Honey. I mean, so long as like Honey isn't a nickname for anyone else in the family, then it's great.
No, nope. It works perfectly.
I'm also really happy that you're willing to admit that you watch trashy TV, because we all need to come out and just admit it. Yeah. We all watch trashy TV.
Yeah, I watch it all the time, mm-hmm. to a point where I actually have heard that there's like Turkish drama series that I need to get
early
into.
Early birds, yes.
Probably. So I have that on my list. Right now I'm in a reality TV phase where I'm watching real world road rules challenges.
From back in the day?
Yeah, and I'm obsessed with them.
Yes, I love those so much.
Like I'm watching them from, it's probably like 10, 20 years ago, and I am so invested and they've already happened, so I won't do any searches to see who wins because I'm so behind. But yeah, that's what I'm spending my time doing when I'm not writing, which,
just wait till you get to the, real world road rules gender challenge, because that was a great season too. There was like a gender face-off, yeah.
God. Okay. Don't tell me anything, but I will probably be messaging you when it happens.
Please do. But it was one of those like moments that was just like changing for my development as a child, where I was like watching it and I'm like, yes, this is imprinting too much on me. But Early Bird, which is really important. It's the one that on TikTok, everyone loves, the Turkish drama. I got into that.
That's where I keep seeing these Turkish drama things. And then a couple of my friends now have said, like, they're so good.
Yeah.
So I'm really disappointed in myself that I haven't started them.
You know, but also you're saving yourself, because it's 164 episodes. And
oh, wow.
And it's a journey. Okay. It's like it's a romance novel that they put to life. And I mean, the amount of times that I was binging it hard for a month and I had to like talk to people. And they're like, I don't care. And I'm like, no, I need you to understand, where it's like,
somebody needs to feel this with me. Right. Like, that's how we are with our romance books too.
It's true. Yeah. That's the equivalent of like, I put my book down and look over to someone and be like, can I please tell you about something that just happened? And this means a lot. But before we go into all of the questions and talk about the roller coasters that you have put me personally through, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you get into writing? Did you always know you wanted to be a romance author?
Oh my gosh, good questions. I've been reading romance probably since middle school. I just remember being lost in a library. I know the exact library, the exact spot in a corner that I would always go and sit in. And I was always at the romance corner. And mm-hmm. then I was reading books there all the time. My mom was just happy I was reading. She didn't care what I was reading. So I was lucky enough to stumble upon like Nora Roberts. Oh. And she wrote
at your junior high library? Wow.
I think my first book of Nora Roberts was Born in Fire, maybe. And that like I just like loved it. And then I became obsessed. I was reading everything Nora Roberts. I was reading Susan Elizabeth Phillips, Laurie Foster, Jennifer Crusie, like just anybody I could get my hands on. And I'll still go back to them. I absolutely love them. I'm also an English major though. So I love like the classics like Shakespeare and like Jane Eyre is one of my favorites, Pride and Prejudice, all those things. So I never knew like that I was going to be a writer, but I was always a romance reader. Mm-hmm. So I guess I stumbled on to write. I had like journals. I would write like little things in little journals. And I wrote like, I don't know, maybe three chapters of some like new adult. And now we call it new adult. I don't think that they had that category back in the day.
It's such a new category.
Yeah. And so back in the day, but I was writing like a college romance in my head. And I think I wrote like three or four chapters. And I remember my older sister found it. And I was like, so embarrassed. And she, and then she said, you know, it's actually pretty good, but there's a lot of swears in here. I honestly didn't take that to heart because there's still a ton of swears in my books and my editor still crosses a ton out. But
I love that such a sisterly like response.
Right?
You're like it's good, but let me give you the one thing.
Yeah. And of course she went through my stuff. Like, why was she reading it in the first place? Anyway, so I guess that's kind of how I stumbled on to romance. But I mean, I've always been somebody who like loves love, you know. I love Disney movies with love. I loved any movies with love. And then I just started reading them. And I always was like skimming for the love story, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and then especially like you think about like the 90s was the golden era of rom-coms. And just, I mean, now that we're entering. Right? And they're good. They're so good. Like You've Got Mail. Like, come on. It's
so good.
And they're all retelling of classics too. A good chunk of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I was always reading romance, and then in college, you know, you kind of just go down the road of you're like, I got to get a corporate job. I got to do whatever I want to do, you know, and start trying to make money. And there's no English jobs out there.
None.
You know?
None.
You just like, I would put that on my resume and I would be like, at least I have my bachelor's. I was going for my master's in English too, because I just couldn't stop reading.
Yeah.
And I graduated with that and I went into higher education. I became a director, which I was doing very well. I worked at UW-Madison and, but I got pregnant with my son and on maternity leave, my husband's like, you're always reading these things. And you always said you like, maybe would want to write one day. Why don't you just do it? Because I was going a little bit like stir crazy at home and I did it. And then he was like, we don't have time to wait for a publisher. Just publish it. And we just went from there. So that's kind of like, I don't know. I guess I owe it a little bit to my son for keeping me home from work for a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And to have like such an incredible husband to encourage you and just be like, hey, you know, hey, this is a dream you've talked about. Go for it. And the fact that it's like, I believe in you so much that I know you could do this without traditional publishing too.
Yeah, he totally was like, let's do this. So
that's really
and
sweet.
And I, you know, when you start that journey, you're like, oh, people are going to judge me or I'm so nervous. Like, should I really do this? Nobody's going to. And he was like, you know what? Just do it. Like, why are we living our lives in that like fear? Mm-hmm. Right. So I owe a lot to him too. And to myself. Right? And he did it.
Number one is you. That's guaranteed. You wrote it. You finished it. You did it. All the things. But that's such a cool, I mean, I'm also an English major. It was English majors unite. And that was like one of the things that my bachelor's was in creative writing, my master's in comparative literature. Nice. And everyone was always like, you're going to teach like academic. Right. And that was
right.
Everyone just assumes that. And I thought I was going to go into publishing, funny enough. And then I interned and I was like, you guys are mean. I don't like this. You've hurt my feelings. And I tried
to get into politics. It is rough. It's rough out there.
It was just like hearing the editors talk about the authors just put me off so much, where I was like, they're working so hard and you guys are just like trashing it. And then I got into marketing because it's like, what else do we do? Right? Like, that's just where we go.
Honestly, an English major can do anything though, right? Yes. Like, readers can do anything. We have lived a million lives.
Thank you. Thank you. It is so true. Like, how do I tell people? I'm like, the amount that I know about psychology and economics and all these things because of literature. So I'm on board with this. So going into a hard left, a little bit of our questions, getting a bit more into your books. Uh-huh. As we said in your bio, roller coaster. And you, I mean, yes. I'm gonna say it. You're the queen of roller coasters, because that is
there's a lot of drama.
A lot of drama. And each time where I'm like, it's one of those moments when you're like, okay, they're happy, but I have a lot of pages left, which means like they're not gonna be happy for too long. But you're
not gonna stay that way.
Yeah. It's always like I always get fooled every time. But your books are always like a fun roller coaster of emotions, but then plot as well. And it never feels out of touch either, even though you have like a lot of these ups and downs going on. How do you find the moments to ground your readers?
That is it's a really hard question to answer. I will admit I'm a pantser by nature, which means I just fly by the seat of my pants and kind of let things happen in my books. So I really trust my characters, which sounds weird.
I get but, it. They're the ones who are going on the journey and they tell you what's happening.
Yeah. So I do trust them a lot to kind of take us on the right journey. I also know that I love drama. So I read for it. I want it. I'm the person who's like, I don't do it to my readers, but I am the reader who will look for a cheat for like other woman drama and cheating drama in a book. So
I get it.
So I know that I am like high intensity. So I realized that, yes, we have to ground ourselves. And I think that the way that I ground my readers in my writing is probably just thinking of those moments and how they are in real life, right? Mm-hmm. We deal with a lot of drama in our everyday lives. And I think that because we're humans and we're like this amazing species, we're able to adapt.
Yeah.
So I kind of pull from real life, honestly. And it's either things I've experienced or things I know of that other people have experienced. And then I'm really sort of like researching, you know, what those highs and lows are in those sort of scenarios. Because you've read my book, so you know, like I deal with a lot of issues that they seem super dramatic, right? Like there's mental health issues and sex trafficking and just like crazy everything. Things, right? But those are all things that happen in real life. And so I like to think that we, all those people at some point will get their happily ever afters. And so we try to focus on, kind of leveling it out and balancing it.
Yeah, it's the journey. But it makes sense, though, because regardless of what's happening, the emotions are so true. And, you know, have I married or dated a mafia boss? Not that I know of, you know, like there's still hope for me yet. But, you know, but have we gone out with someone that you care about and you find out something about them that hurts? Yeah. And that's a real emotion. So, you know, like these, you know, like you said, trafficking so real and it happens, but there's like that level of empathy that we can all relate to. So I totally see what you're saying, where it's like the emotions are the things that the situations might be, you know, might not understand or relate to some of them, but the emotions are so real to it.
And it's raw, right? Like those emotions are normally roller coasters and they're normally raw and gritty they're true. So I think that people relate because everybody has those emotions in some way. Yeah. It might not be a mafia boss, but it's definitely
something that they've experienced. There's still hope.
There's still hope for all of us.
For all of us. You know, like, I'm single. I'm fine. I can, I have Google.
My husband could turn any day.
I believe
in
this.
I'm still waiting.
Here's the game plan, right? He throws a rock into the neighbor's window and says, if you don't want another rock through your window, give me $5. And then you just expand.
Right?
And that's called.
He'll get there. He'll get there one day.
We all have to have our dreams and retirement plans eventually. And that is a 401 mafia. That's you know, you're talking about mental health, and I'm really happy that you mentioned that, because I'm going to look at the Tarnished Empire series in particular. The heroines deal with a lot of mental health issues, which I feel like that's what adds the realism that we were talking about. Do you feel like the topic of mental health is, you know, just as important to explore as like the topics of love and other things that you might touch upon?
Yeah, I'll probably always do it in my writing, exploring some sort of mental health or character growth issue. I think that, honestly, I don't think that there should be any sort of stigma around it. In this day and age, there are so many people struggling with it that it should be something that we're open about and honest about, so that we can all grow and heal if we're going through an issue, right? And I think that it has meant a lot to me and has helped me heal with some of the things that I've struggled with, but also it's helped a lot of readers, and that means a lot to me. I've seen also just a lot of family members of mine struggle with it. And so struggling with their journey and my journey, and, you know, somebody close to you that has that struggle. My books aren't like an escape sometimes, because we are discussing it, but I think that it's almost like having a friend discussing it with you when you're reading that book.
Yeah.
And so it's really important in the aspect of my writing. I'll probably always have some sort of focus on it. And I do consider what I do a sort of art form. And I do think that like art should be relatable in a sense.
Yeah. It is art. I'm going to jump in. It is art. It is. I mean, writing is art. Our authors, writers, this is, you guys, we are artists too.
Yeah. I like to think we are. And I like to think that we're creating something relatable that can help somebody escape, grow, heal something. And so if I'm doing that with even just one person, it really means something to me, and it's really important to me. So mental health is really something that I try to focus on in my writing.
I love it. I mean, we also talk about this sometimes during, like when we're analyzing books during the on season, you know, whether we know it or not, I feel like as readers, we're always kind of analyzing what we're reading because we're processing it. And to be able to see someone else, a character, going through something, you don't have to, even if you're relating, it's like they're going through it. So you can process their trauma, their mental health, and then it's like a safer gateway to then processing yourself too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree.
And you also have like a broad range too. Like I was very like within like the Tarnished Empire, I was like, oh, we're covering it all. We're just going to.
Yeah.
We
cover a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to spoil anything. You know, fun fact about the Tarnished Empire series, I unintentionally read it backwards, and
hear that all the time. And honestly, I don't bother myself too much with it because I'm such a mood reader, which is really bad. I apologize to everybody that goes into these books. I'm such a mood reader that I want people to read based on what they're feeling at that moment. So if they go in,
Right.
But like you went in probably, I don't know what you read first, but if you read Corrupted Chaos first, maybe you wanted that enemies to lover at that moment. And I didn't want anybody to feel like, oh, I have to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I read, Kane, and just like, you know, it's like, I want a billionaire that will kind of treat me like an asshole, but loves me and wants me to. It was like, I will remember, it was a TikTok video, and it was talking about the fire scene, like when they're around the fire.
Yeah. And then the bonfire.
At the bonfire.
And Kane has... Yeah, I don't know what I can say in here, but...
Oh, we can say it all, but it's just, if anyone...
Oh, yes, when he, like, pulls out his knife and he was like, you're staying.
Yep. I mean, immediately I was like, and that's what I'm craving. That's exactly what I want.
And right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of my books are standalones and you can read them all as standalones and you should read them in any order you want to based on what you're feeling at that moment, except for Rome and Catalina's books. The Heart of a Monster and Love of a Queen do need to be read in that order because they Heart of a Monster comes first and mm-hmm. it ends on a cliffhanger.
Okay. So. I don't think I've read that one. I'm going to have to add it to my list. It's a...
He's the first Arminelli.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But people, it's, okay. Yeah, he's very like, yeah, he came out before Tarnished Empire and Tarnished Empire really blew up. So a lot of, and I don't push him that much, but
yeah.
People love that book. They have, I have a couple people that have sent me like pictures of their tattoos from what Rome and Catalina have said to each other.
Any like so. A board. I'm imagining suddenly like in Harry Potter, there's like the wall. Of,
I know,
of like where everyone's related and stuff. Like I want.
I know. That I'm on my so own. Bad too about telling people. Like I don't have it on my website. People are coming to my group and they're
surprise.
Like, "What order?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, one day I'll get to it," and then I never do. But I mean, you can see Cade. I think Cade and Bastion
uh-huh.
are in. Inevitable. They're in my first book ever. And they're in Reverie too. People wanted Cade. Maybe it was no, people wanted Bastion's book with Reverie so badly because
okay.
he's in there and he's kind of an ass.
Yeah.
And
then all of a sudden we have the Hardy brothers. And then that's like that was a moment yeah. of like, wait a minute, these are those brothers? It's yeah. And then that's a totally different vibe as well.
Very different. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because like I'm realizing now, like they're all connected. You have one big Shane verse and they all live there
yeah.
and they all overlap. So how do you end up choosing which characters next? Because I'm feeling like no one's safe now. Now I'm at this point where I'm going to be reading every single book that's about to come out and just be like,
I know
who's next.
It is really, honestly, it's really hard to answer that question because I don't know. And I think that anybody that I have worked with gets a little annoyed. Like even my editor asks me, okay, well, what brother is next? Or who are we going to see next? And is this person going to get a story?
Mm-hmm.
And until I'm like halfway through the book that I'm writing at that time, I really don't know because again, I am a pantser by nature. So unless these characters start kind of pushing their own story,
uh-huh.
I have no idea. So it has been a journey. I can tell everybody here today listening that I know the next story, it's going to be Dominic and Clara's story with yeah. Between Love and Loathing. And then the next story is going to be Dex's story. But
oh.
that's all. And then obviously then it'll be Dimitri. So I know the order of the Hardy brothers, but that's
okay.
it.
I'm excited. Oh, I'm going to have to process that now. I'm going to have to sit on that information. Bye. I'm so excited for Dom's. By the time this one airs, Dom will be available. So everyone will yeah. please go and read that. But that comes out October 3rd, right?
Yes. Between Love and Loathing comes out October 3rd. I'm so excited. They yeah, were a lot of fun. They were sweet and spicy. And she's a baker. So they were a lot of fun.
What I feel like that's a clue. Like she's a baker. Is there whipped cream? Is this what we're getting into?
There are things. Okay. There's lots of fun. Okay.
Oh, it's like, and there's such a different vibe too from the Tarnished Empire series.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that was one of those, I think like for an author to be able to do that shows, I think, a lot of talent and also knowing that their readers are going to trust them too, where that's where it is, where it's like, you know, is this mafia boss? No, but I'm still going to get the elements I really like.
Yeah, I hope people are loving it. I know that it is a different shift, but yeah, the Hardy brothers spoke to me. And then, you know, somebody else is speaking to me a little bit, and I feel like readers are going to start to get hints of it, and we might be leaning dark again. I don't know after this series, but we'll see. I hope the readers will trust me to continue on the crazy journey that we're on.
I speak for everyone. I collected everyone unanimously, and we all agree. Like, I do trust you, because, I mean, aww, that was the, like for like reading the Hardy Brothers, the first one, Between Love and Commitment. Yes. Commitment and Betrayal.
And yes, you're mixing, yeah, and then Between Love and Loathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fine. There's a lot of words in there.
But I will always remember like reading that, because it was a shift, and it didn't feel like I was leaving the world too much or anything. It like, right. I mean, truly kind of, I called it, you know, the Shane verse, where it's like, it, you can tell that it's still the world, and there's still these elements of like that, like dominating alpha guy and the one. Yes. And that's also really talented that you can like write so many alpha men, but I believe it all, you know, like they're all.
That makes me happy. I do love my dominant, possessive, jealous men. I think that's like the one thing I'll never move away from.
I have like this, I keep dating guys who just are not jealous in the slightest. And it's like, I need you to think.
And you're like,
it,
what?
Right?
Yeah. It's, you need to be a little more jealous.
Like, it's like,
sometimes I have to like test my husband, because we've been together coming up on 10 years. And I'm like, oh,
yeah. Like,
oh, Johnny called me, and he's like, who's Johnny? And I'm like, okay, good. We still got it.
That's the answer. That is the answer. And I love that. So I'm half Chilean. My grandparents, my mom was born in Chile, came here, and they,
amazing,
my grandma, like until her last days would get so jealous for my grandpa of like, who's that woman who's hitting on you? And it's like, grandma, that is a young woman. That is like a 30-something-year-old woman, and he is a 90-year-old man. And she's like, I don't like the way that she's looking at him. And it was always like, not how he's looking at her, but the way that other women are looking at him. And
I love it.
Yeah. And then I'm like, that kept the fire alive. Like,
oh my God, you, it's so perfect.
Yes. Yeah. I need to like add that to my list of musts. Like, just, I need you to even just fake it for me, please. Like, just something. Yeah.
Act like it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because I'm willing to be jealous in real life. I'm willing. That's how much I love you, is I'm willing to not fake it and just be jealous.
Yeah, no, I am a jealous person. My husband knows I'm such a jealous person. And he gives me nothing to be jealous about. Like, I sometimes will be like, oh my God, did you see that beautiful woman? She was so beautiful. Like, she walked by. She's wearing a bright yellow dress.
Yeah.
Everybody can see her. And like, dude doesn't. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He might be lying, but
no,
honestly, he never even looks. And so I'm like, man, you really are. So I only can get jealous of the women who talk to him. You know what I mean?
Which, yeah, like, I understand. That's why I have to like have like categories in my head where it's like, green is my like, okay, nothing's happening, this is all in your head. Yep. And then yellow is like, is she into him? I don't know, but I'm not gonna act out just yet. Red is like, okay, now I'm gonna come in and stake my territory. And
yeah, absolutely,
I have to actively think about like, what level are we at right now? Because otherwise, like, I will gladly stake my territory in any moment, even if it's like,
yeah, no, you got a little bit of Izzy in you, I think.
Absolutely. I had like 100%. It's, and I have to like just sit there.
Okay, that's a great thing.
Yeah, thank you. I thought so. So it's I love Izzy. So yeah, I have to like just sit here and be like, all right, I'm gonna hide my intensity to myself until I let it out. But
that's okay.
That's
when you know what, you probably, when you find the right person, you won't have to hide that intensity.
Thank you.
You know
what? My therapist said the exact same thing. So it's,
aww, I, good.
It's, I mean, if anything though, like I'm loving your relationship with you and your husband so much. Just like the fact that he encourages you and answers correctly when he says, who's John? But
right?
It's like, it's really sweet. Like, I don't know. It's the,
yeah, like that's, you know, it. That's why I kept him around for 10 years, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Understandable. So a little shift. We can see from your biography that family is an important aspect to your life. And knowing that family, it's more than just a common theme. It is like a direct parallel of like how everyone is so intertwined. When do you draw on real life connections and those dynamics into your writing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, I talk about my husband a lot. I mean, he's my number one. I have two kids, and I probably am so disorganized in my life because they are the number one priority. My family is too. So I mean it when I say, like, if I am not doing something with reading and writing, they are the people that I'm talking to. I probably call my sisters like 3 times a day, my mom 3 times a day. Like, I'm always on the phone talking to family. I have one brother. I have 7 sisters.
You have 7 sisters?
Yeah, that I have 7 sisters. Also, this makes
so much more sense about, like, I like family with big, a lot of siblings going on too, is being a theme.
Yeah. So we just are, and I didn't grow up with all of them in the home, right? Yeah. Like, I have a stepmom and 3 of my sisters live in another state, but, our connection is always there.
Yeah.
And so I think that, just kind of growing up that way, it probably flows into my books. And those connections are ones that I'm going to draw on in my books. So the family is always, like, really important to me. And I think that people in general either make their own family and their own community, or they have that family, right?
Yeah.
And so I like to think that we're a social species and community sort of makes us happier. And so I kind of always put that in my writing, and it sort of anchors my characters a little bit, I think.
I agree.
And shows who they are. So I would say, and I will say, like, most of my friendships and some of the relationships that I have are written into my novels. It might not be like a friendship that Izzy has with a girl is probably the relationship I have with my sister, you know? The way Catalina talks to Aubrey from the Stonewood series is probably the way that I talk to my sister. And so I always am drawing from it.
Yeah.
It really just kind of helps move the story forward for me. And I think that it's relatable. I think that people relate to kind of having a family or a community around.
Yeah, whether it's chosen family or your actual family. And it's just always going to have a dynamic. Like, the people, when you see people who are really close to one another and the half sentences, you know, like, no one's quite finishing what they're saying, but people know what's happening. I mean, just the, like, I'm super, we were talking about, like, both being super close to our moms. Like, I love my mom. I talk about her all the time on here, and I have to, like, send her clips, be like, talked about you again. My cousins, I have a lot of cousins very close to them. And then even my closest friends, the family that you choose, that way of communicating, it really shows in your writing, and it makes sense now. Like, especially when I see the siblings interact, like the Hardy siblings, like, they're my favorite family. Like,
they are so fun.
I always,
you're going to love some of the commentary between the siblings in this next book, Ben.
It's my dream. Yeah.
With Dominic and Sarah, they're a lot of fun. And you will see there's some of those chosen family aspects in this Between Love and Loathing book. So I'm so excited for you to read it now.
I'm excited too. It's a, and that's, like, I mean, those dynamics, like, really do make it. And then the people, even, like, you have characters that are still fairly solitary too. But embrace it also. So I think you do a really good job of, like, showing the range of people and how absorbed they want to be in their family. You know, like, sometimes people want to be a little bit more like, I don't need to see you 5 times a day. And then I want to see you 5 times a day. I'm like, please be here. But it is. But then And then there's other times where it's like, no, I'm good. And I think that, you know, family doesn't have to be one thing for every single person. You can have the relationships, like, be defined differently. And that's part of one of my favorite things too, is, like, I think you do a great job of, like, showing those different representations. Cause then I can be like, ah, that's how I'm like with this cousin, or that's how I'm like with this friend or something.
Oh my gosh. That makes me so happy to hear. Thank you for saying that.
It's the truth,
but Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I am very much like, yes, family means a lot to me. Yeah. So I always want to show that in my writing. So I love hearing that you feel it's shown the right way.
I think that's why I really love like Cade's story. Yeah. And I mean, we already talked about like which character that I like as well, but it's like the corrupted chaos. They're all of them. But like, yeah, that one is like, that story really resonates, I think, the most for me. And especially like how she relates with her family and the perceptions that they have of her. And then how do you break out of those perceptions when you've grown up and become a different person? So you guys, if you haven't read it, like just go read it. I'm very aggressively passionate about this.
I love how passionate you are. There are days when I'm like, I'm going to go back and read. I mean, Izzy and Cade are one of my favorites too. They just have a little place in my heart because, you know, they are chaos, but they like really embrace it. And I love that about them. So
yeah, I'm happy. But they're outcasts who still love their family, who still want to connect, but they're also like, I'm willing to do my own thing. And
I love them. I love that you love them.
So who's your favorite Hardy brother?
Oh gosh. You know, I have to say, when I am writing them, it's like they're my favorite, right? Uh-huh. So like right now I'm writing Dex's story. So like he's near and dear to my heart right now. Mm-hmm. But again, I am very much a mood reader and person. So I change with the wind, honestly. And I'll read like a little snippet, like my PA sent me a little like collage she made of Between Commitment and Betrayal with Declan and Everly. And that was like 2 days ago. And I'm like, they're my favorites. They're always going to be my favorite. You know, and then like yesterday I was doing something for Between Love and Loathing marketing because, you know, it's coming out October 3rd. So I have to like get everything ready. And I'm like, they're my favorites. And now today Dex is my favorite. So I don't know. I mean, I will say in general, because I am one of those people who like really disappear when I go into the writing cave. Like I immerse myself in that character for so long, they're normally my favorites when I'm writing them. So it's got to be Dex Day.
I think that's such a, like, you have to like what you're doing. I mean, you know, you always hear one of the common themes I've been hearing from authors I've been interviewing is like, you got to love what you're writing. So the fact that each time that they're your favorite shows that you love what you're writing, which makes sense because that's like what we all got to be doing. Otherwise, like, that would kind of suck to write someone. You're like, you're not my favorite.
I don't know how people would do that. No. I don't think that they can. I'm sure they can, right? Anything is possible, but I think it would be so hard.
Yeah, to write something that you're just like, I mean, I understand maybe writing a character that frustrates you, but not someone that you're not like, even the ones that frustrate you, it's like, haha, suffer. Like,
right. Like, I always am enjoying, even when my guys, being an ass, right? Mm-hmm. There was a character I wrote, I think it might have been Cade, where my editor at first was like, there's no coming back from this. And he is such an asshole. And I was like, no, he's perfect. Like, it's going to be fine, right? But at the time, like, then you get nervous, like, oh, maybe I'm like totally biased and I need to take a step back. But we didn't. He just is who he is.
He's perfection. I mean, and then it's just like, I don't know, you need that dynamic. It has to make sense for every, you know, heroine and hero that you have together of like what they have, you know, they got to match the energies. So it makes sense. Actually, I'm going to overanalyze this. It makes total sense that that would be Cade, because you would also say about Izzy, has she gone too far? Can she come back from this in her own storyline?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And numerous times, right? There were people that reached out to me and said they wouldn't read Izzy's story because of Fractured Freedom. The people that read Fractured Freedom in order would not read her story because of what she did in Fractured Freedom, right? But then they finally gave it a chance and then they're like, oh, now I understand. But yeah, there was a moment there where I was like, I don't know. I don't know if anyone's going to read this story because of what she did in Fractured Freedom.
It just shows though, like your writing muscles and like flexing them of being like, And it's the same way where it's like Sarah J. Maas did. I'm not sure if you read the ACOTAR series, but she did it with one of her characters, Nesta. And people hate her, hate her. And then she had her own book. And honestly, and people still aren't sure. Half and half still. Like, okay. But like, then there's people who love her, or like after her book, like she, I feel like she did a great job redeeming her. Other people still, you know, a little.
Yeah, angry, people fight over it.
Yeah. But that just means like, those are just moments where you get to like flex as an author and be like, behold, talent.
I don't know, but I did enjoy writing it. And I was like, you know what? I have to write this book. Like, I'm not going to not give her her story. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, thank you personally for that, because like, it really was whenever I really love a book. So we all have like our book system, right? So you read it on Kindle. Sure. And then if you like it, then you like buy the Audible. And then if that's available, and then if you like that, which, you know, it is. And then if you like that, then you buy the physical. So I do have one of every version, but it's that book did mean a lot to me this year. But so we talked a lot about your upcoming projects. By the time this has come out, Between Love and Loathing will have come out already on October 3rd. So what else can people, you're working on Dex's story next. That's coming out next year.
He will be another Between character, right? Yeah. So it'll be Between Something and Something.
Okay.
And he is the Hardy brother who, he's dealt a lot with security. And he is pretty much owning a resort and casino with a partner in the Nevada area. And he had a long lost love, that now he's going to have to deal with that he doesn't like so much anymore. Yes. Right. So it was a heartbreak, and it's sort of a second chance romance. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if I should be giving you all of this information, but here we are. Because I'm writing it. I'm like, I'll tell anybody about it.
Well, I'm like, I'll delete it. You don't have to, the listeners don't have to know. You can just
fine. I don't have it. Anyways, but yeah, I'm really excited about their story. And I think readers are going to love them. And I think, I'm hoping everybody's going to like Between Love and Loathing with Dom and Clara too.
I know I will. So, and I hope everyone else does. And thank you so much for joining. You've been so lovely to talk with and just absolutely amazing. I become very, very happy when the books I love have authors that I love too, that I'm like, oh, cool. You're great. You match your books.
Oh, you're amazing.
Thank you.
You are like, you make this so easy. I don't do these a lot because I feel I get like anxious and everything, but you've made this it's just talking to a friend. So I can do this much more often with you.
Yay. Well, if you're ever like in California, please let me know. I would really, really, really love to meet up.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to meet up too. I was just in California now. See? Now we know, though. I go to California a lot because I have family there. So we will meet up one time.
I will drive out to wherever. We'll go. We'll get drinks or whatever it is. We will.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you again. Oh, and then where can people find you online?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. But if they want, probably the easiest way to find me is just going to my website and then following me there. My website's www.janerose.com.
All right. Everyone, go to the website. Go follow. All right. Bye.
Yay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this mini episode of Book Talk for Book Talk. We encourage you to rate and subscribe to our show on your preferred podcast listening platform.
We would love to hear your thoughts based on today's conversation. You can submit your comments to our form at booktalkforbooktalk.com or via our Camflare voicemail system. Please visit booktalkforbooktalk.com for more information.
You can also follow us on TikTok or Instagram at the handle booktalkforbooktalk. Bye!